B-Pod Studios.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter.
At Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.985 The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich, when the MTV network.
Sorry, Fred.
Tilly. Tilly. Tilly.
Tilly. It is indeed your birthday, as your lovely Tilly. Children called it to wish you. And
a milestone Tilly. Birthday as well.
Milestone birthday.
44,
yes.
They never come bigger than that.
It's kind of like the Delaware of birthdays. It's not really not really anything significant.
It's kind of small and crappy.
Kind of forgettable. You know, so.
Yes, it's a small and crappy.
Right. So on here, your birthday, we thought we would revisit some of our favorite Fred Toucher moments, not just from when you were here, but also in previous jobs that you held on the air. So let's go back in the Wayback Machine and celebrate Fred today, because why the heck not?
My name's Fred, so now you know mine.
Fred Toucher has a hard time showing up to work on time.
Hey, f*** you, Fred Toucher.
Oi, oi! Happy birthday,
boy! Happy birthday,
oi, oi!
Not the guy who texts every day about how much I suck.
No,
I would
no,
care
no,
not
no.
to
I'm
hear
I'm talking
those.
About the 30 people here who've just texted about the same thing.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Fred equals fail. Again, Fred, a-hole. Fred, you fraud. It was 10 a.m., not 3 p.m.
Seemed like 3 p.m. today.
Fred Toucher, you suck. Respect me.
I know what people want, and they want complete jerks with no skills that the real world cares about. Lochte, I don't know, baby. It's all going to depend on how you do in the National Swimming Championships. They're going to be on PBS at 4 in the morning. And I can tell you what's going to happen in 4 years. All these idiots that are giving him money will be fired, and he'll be going, hey, it's Ryan Lochte. You know me from the Olympics. Well, how do you get leaves out of your pool? Use the net. Lochte nets. Get him! Yeah!
I sent us here with some friends from school. Fred keeps telling them to yell during the show.
Because you know what?
Because you're a bad parent.
No, because it's fun, and it might create some excitement. You love controversy. Okay. Why are you so mean to the kids?
Kids, yell. One, two, three, yell.
Yay! Fred's the best! Fred's the best!
Fred's the best! Fred's the best!
Well, wow, it's early. Hopefully we do.
Somebody's been partying.
Oh,
somebody's
yeah.
Somebody's team won.
Yeah, it was a big night for me last night.
I'm just glad you made it. I appreciate you showing up.
Well, listen, it's the least I could do.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, well, it's quite literally the least I could do.
Are you playing hurt this morning?
No, it's just the first words that came out of my mouth today were to you. So I think
isn't that nice? I feel like we're so much closer together now.
Well, listen, you're like a little ray of sunshine on a Monday morning.
When people ask me what part I'm from, Mexico I'm from, I say thank you very much. That made me feel real good.
Over the years, I've learned to never rank coaches, concerts, children, championships, or congratulations. Just enjoy them all. And as a dad, that's what I'm about. Because even though I'm a Celtic, even though the Celtics gave me my life back 25 years ago, more importantly, I'm a dad. It's not about me. I want what's best for our son. And to see that.
All right. Well, you're rooting for the Lakers. Goodbye. I'm not going to take a guest who's celebrating the team that just beat. The Celtics. I mean, your kid's on the team. Congratulations.
I thought we were talking about diving, you know. Other than that, if it's not, you know, talking about the diving competition, then I don't really want to, you know, go any further with this interview.
All right.
Theo Fleury, on the fifth try, we were able to get Theo Fleury on the phone. The book is playing with fire. Hello, Theo.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Goodbye. Theo Fleury has called in the radio program, ladies and gentlemen.
You did not just do that.
Indeed.
It took all that time to get him on, though.
The interview never would have lived up to the hype.
We're joined by Rick Pitino, former coach of the Celtics, current coach of the Louisville Cardinals, who won the national championship. Rick Pitino, hello.
Good morning, guys.
You stink. You ruined the Celtics.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stats.
men's families, men's lives, on how to actually get acclimated as a
woman. Whoa.
I got lost in there.
Because he's not saying anything. This collection of words.
He's not speaking in circles. He's speaking in scribble.
I used to teach Charlie Brown.
What was built that many of years took hard work.
Learning. It's like someone dropped a bunch of flashcards on the ground, and I'm just reading what I see.
Before you leave today, your head's going to be on that platter.
It's Mr. Wizard.
What?
Why will my head be on that platter?
Shut up. I'm watching the races.
Get me a beer, kid. Here's the science of taking the pain away. Hey, kid, which one makes me sleepy and which makes me happy, blue or red? Hey, kid, give me a bottle of Robitussin. Today, we kill a mouse. Why? Shows you who's boss. We have the science of everyone being quiet. Mr. Wizard had a tough night last night.
Teeth never clean. Smell is obscene. Women's panties you've never seen. Pepperoni nips. Fudge on your lips. Showing ass crack. Belt below hips. Lazy as hell. Can't spell well. Rubbing yourself to say by the bell.
Just got a tweet that went out from Brandon Miller. He said, I'ma follow you, Toucher Rich.
Ooh. That's how I called it. At first, I said it out loud, and it did not work.
Bruce Springsteen.
I'm follow you.
How about that?
So last night, I sent him, I said, thanks, Brandon. Just wanted to make sure you got all the info. Want to call in tomorrow and introduce it. And I have not heard back yet.
Oh, I fell asleep.
But he has contacted us. We are the show that is going to debut Brandon Merriweather's first rap single.
I played it in my car real loud, and I said, hey, Touch and Rich, listen. But it has not arrived.
Big guy, touch me. What the hell's big guy dad do?
Big guy touch me. Big guy touch me. Big stiff set. I have that to have on my own way. My own way. Yes, my own way. My own way. My own way. Big deal with that.
I'm done with this.
Your pleasure is my pleasure. You take pleasure in watching me have the pleasure.
Yesterday, the pager, 911, 911, I'm pregnant.
A pager?
Yeah, the pager keeps beep, 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 beep.
Oh, you have a pager?
Yes, with 911 only for emergencies, not, ah, I'm pregnant, Whether or not you have the Jager,
that's
baby.
That's beneath the Jager?
Well, it's game day.
Hey, friends, Adolfo. Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I cried in my room thinking about your birthday last night. Happy birthday.
When I finished the book on Tuesday, I threw it down because I was so ticked off by the ending. The last two chapters...
Don't give it away.
What happens at the
end? Go ahead.
What happens, the headmaster dies.
Oh, the headmaster of the book dies.
He just gave away the ending there. He may not have. I don't know. I don't even know what the book's about.
The headmaster of the Harry Potter book
Let me tell
dies.
You something. People are going to be writing letters for giving away the ending of Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter
I didn't. I said not to do it.
Rob.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
What did I do? What did I say?
I told the guy not to give the ending, and you were like, give
funny.
The ending.
Here, I got a song for you. I just wrote it right now.
Oh, good.
The headmaster dies. If you're reading a children's book, I'm sorry, the headmaster dies.
Giving up the ending of a children's book.
Hey, yeah, I'm really pissed off, because I have like 100 pages left. And I'm sure that there would happen at the end, obviously.
Well, listen. There's many more adventures, I'm sure, in that book.
Man.
I'm so mad.
Why are you mad? You had 100 pages left. How long can that book take to read? 10 seconds? So you're pissed at me too?
I was like, don't tell me the ending, and then you asked the guy on the radio, and
what
there
about
it
the
is.
Headmaster dying?
Yes.
That's what happens.
Can we get these? We gotta get these red.
The headmaster dies. At the end of the Harry Potter book. At the end of the Harry Potter book. The headmaster dies.
Thanks, Fred.
Hey! Headmaster dies. Headmaster dies. Roll out the barrel. The headmaster dies.
Headmaster dies. It makes the Celtics better, and they can score 120 points, but if they choose not to play defense, they'll give up 121.
My mother's calling me.
You're not kidding me. That is Mom?
Mom.
Mom.
Can you see? It's my mother.
Say hi to Mrs. Toucher. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. I'm on TV right now. Okay.
Everything okay?
I hate you, too.
You actually were phenomenal looking at this place. Is that correct?
What I want to know is, the more that you drink, do you get more and more flattering to people around you? Or you're not like the violent drunk, are you? You're like the...
No, trust...
Just nicer and nicer and nicer and...
Trust me. He becomes more of our friend, and that's the only reason we can put up with him with the show.
I can tell. It smells like alcohol over here, actually.
I can tell.
I can smell it.
I smell alcohol.
Did anybody have that word said?
It's just another form of communication.
We sometimes play Gandalf or Incubus.
I smell that alcohol smell again.
Yeah, do you have anything, like, good to offer the conversation besides booze breath?
No.
What exactly is the point? What is the point?
I'm starting to smell like flatulence over here, too.
I know.
I smell like flatulence?
I wasn't accusing you.
Or just even a hint of, like, professionalism on the radio, you know?
Oh.
That would be sweet.
Well, that would be the end of me.
Really? I'm sorry. That's your gig. Are you, like, drunk guy on the radio? Is that your gig? That's, like, your thing that you do?
Kind of. Yeah.
Okay, that's...
What the hell is going on? Everyone's all of a sudden having a good time. You know you're not having a good time. You're on a commuter flight. Hey, everybody, dance around. Shut up! Shut up! Sit down! What's going on? Has everyone lost their mind? Did they put acid in everyone's drinks? Think about what a piece of crap packs a banana costume in his knapsack.
We're going to make a viral video.
Dude, yeah, you're all going to jail. You all should be going to jail.
So who are the leaders stepping forth besides yourself and Chara on this hockey team right now?
Yeah, I think right now it's MeZ and Andy Ferentz and hey, what are you doing, man? Hello. Hey, what are these questions? What are these questions? Ooh, the Stanley Cup hangover. Look at me. I'm repeating something I've heard a million times.
Oh, it's nice. It's Fred Toucher, who apparently is now so cool.
You're out with the team. Some of us are here taking notes, and some of us are just repeating what we hear from the
taking notes.
You and Rucker.
Yeah, you and Rucker
collecting jock straps.
Yeah, right. You guys hanging out, looking cool.
You two sons of bitches. You don't know what you're doing. I'll give the phone back to Patrice, but try to keep it on a professional level. Maybe a little bit more clever. Maybe act like you've done some homework.
Yeah, Gerard Mayo might sound like a dumb question, but it is a question I'm going to ask. Do you watch that game?
Yeah, I watch it. Yeah. I still support my teammates.
You watched every
minute
of the game.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah. But I fast-forwarded through some stuff.
No, you didn't.
I did, Gerard. I saw Garoppolo's pass to Dobson. I thought the kid played well. I saw what was going on there. I know Belichick, gave it up.
Okay.
No, I watched the game.
All right, friends.
With this stuff, are we ending? Give me a hug, bastard.
Oh, man. Merry Christmas, Fred.
You are special.
Oh, thank you, man.
You are very special.
You smell good, Fred. Coming up, we'll empty the bench.
Summer's Eve.
However he has to do it to wake them up, Kyrie understands what it takes to win a championship, so... He's trying to show them there's an everyday process to this. And that's when I won a championship and we came back the next year, it was like, don't get bored with the process or understand what the process is. And that's what he's trying to teach them. And that's why they're inconsistent, because they don't understand that. It doesn't start just on the court during games. It's in practice. It's the little things. Like, I watched that play. Obviously, that maybe Jason Tatum was an option, but I think the first option was to go to Harper and some type of action from there. So it's the little things that they have to follow, the details that it's going to take for them to win a championship. And Kyrie's trying to show them that. I mean, Kyrie's the only one with a title out there, you know, and Baines, you know, with San Antonio. So it could be from Al Horford to Gordon Hayward. These guys don't know. So they got to bring their hard hats each and every day, because, like you said, expectations are here.
My favorite thing about that clip, and I can't even listen to what Paul Pierce is saying, is the randomness of the music.
Yeah. It just sounds like in mid-sentence.
I don't know why they find that necessary at all. It's like that chirping noise on CBS. Like, I understand when something's a replay. It's going slower than the actual game. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. is kind enough to join us weekly on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello.
Good morning. It's a big day. It's a birthday.
Oh, yeah. It's a big one. It's the big 4-4. And judging by my lifestyle. Yeah, that's right. I'm the age man. That's right. I'm number 44. And judging by my lifestyle, I got at least 10 years left. So we're excited about that as a family. I'm just another step closer to the inevitable, my friend. All right.
So, by the way, I have not officially, I guess, publicly thanked you for the other day. Last time we had you on, it was a week ago today. You know, you said, any guys going to the game? And I said, no, we're not going. And I think I might have even said, you got tickets. And you said, well, do you want tickets? And when I showed up with my son, my man got us what he likes to call it, on wood?
You got wood.
We got wood? Right, yeah. On the floor, Mike Gorman hooks me up. And on top of that, like, takes my camera, gets pictures of, like, me and my son out there. Your wife even brought us candy during the game. How about that, Mike?
We tried, please.
I mean, that was, like, the ultimate cool guy move. And I have to be honest, ever since I've been gone from these games, they've been horrible. But when I'm there, they, you know, they dominate.
Well, so, they went on the road. That's the problem.
Right. So if you want to continue to get me good tickets, then I'll make sure that they win.
The odds are better.
By almost 30 against good teams. But that was awesome. Thank you, Mike Gorman. That was really, really cool.
I forever spoiled you with Hank, though, now. He's going to expect those seats.
Oh, we had the talk. I was like, Dad's never been in seats anywhere near that before. You're never probably going to have that again. Don't get used to it. So, but it was great. Thank you.
Those are Wick seats, actually.
Oh, I was wondering, because I thought they were like, I was like, are these the ones that Ainge sits in? So those were Wick seats?
Yeah, those are Wick seats that you were in.
Oh, yeah.
Did you, now what do you want? What would you like in return?
That's a good point.
What would you like in return? Anything?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
He could give you, like, a coupon book.
Hell of a good cheese?
Sure, why not? No, just, like, a coupon book, like, one back rub.
Oh, there you go.
Like, I'll walk your dog.
How about the recording they had on earlier, The Best of Fred? That would be good.
All right, I will make sure to get that to you in return.
You know what that is? Every Monday through Friday, my friend. Getting the best out of me. All right, so you heard the comments by Paul Pierce. Kyrie Irving is been very vocal, and in some ways he's reminding me of the way LeBron James was with his teams that rubbed Kyrie the wrong way.
And on top of that, you were right there when that meltdown happened at the end of the Orlando game. When you were there, what did you witness being right next to everything that was going down?
Well, I think the number one option on that play, I believe, I believe this would be true, is to get the ball to Horford, and then Kyrie comes running out of the backcourt at full speed. They get the ball to him, and he either wins the game or whatever. But there are other options, and Gordon Hayward just went for another option that Kyrie was not too crazy about. It wasn't so much that play that was the issue. It was the fact that this team is really kind of searching for itself. We're going to find out a lot tonight. I mean, usually games in January are just games on the schedule that you just try to get through to get to the end of the year. But this is against a team that probably is their biggest threat to advance to the NBA Finals. So they're going to have to go through Toronto eventually. But more importantly, I think right now is we're going to try to figure out who this team is can they get their act together to play a really good team. They struggled against some marginal teams, obviously, in this road trip. The Orlando loss was particularly distressing, I thought. You're in a one-point game with the Nets at the half, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're down 27. There's a lot of soul-searching that's going on with this team right now. And, you know, Kyrie is trying to assume some sort of a leadership role. I'm sure Al Horford is not an outward guy internally. I'm sure he's trying to do the best he can as a veteran on the team. But this is a team that's in a state of confusion right now, I would say.
You mentioned confusion, and from the outside looking in, Mike, I mean, you see fighting on the bench, Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown, although that was quickly smoothed over. You see the thing with Kyrie and how he's angry and is trying to get young guys to get in line, and then Jaylen Brown looked like he was pointing out Kyrie the next night, and this is not a time to point fingers. Is this as big of a mess as it looks like from the outside at this point?
Well, I think it's a cumulative effect of what the expectations were of this team, which were unreasonable to begin with. I mean, there was all summer long, people were just kind of conceding the whole season to the fact that Celtics were going to finish first in the East and were going to go to the NBA Finals, and how are they going to do against Golden State? Now we're better than halfway through the season, and we don't even have home court advantage in the playoffs. We're sitting in fifth place right now. So this is a team that is not who we thought it was going to be, and we haven't figured out who they are going to be yet. Different guys, as I said, are trying to assume leadership roles. I don't know who ultimately will step up and be the guy. If I were to point to one guy that I think should be the leader of this team, I'd say it should be Marcus Smart, because he's the one who plays hard every night. That seems to be the one thing that the Celtics say they understand. I'm talking about the players now. They say they understand this, but I don't think they really truly understand this, and that is that you have to play hard all the time. It's real simple. I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years, and if there's one common characteristic between the good teams, be they the Celtics of the 80s with Bird, be the Celtics with Garnett, be they the Georgetown teams in the Big East that I would cover, the one common trait that all those teams had was they played hard all the time. I mean, You say it, and I know these guys say, like, they believe they played hard all the time, but then you need to show them the tape, and it's not true. They don't play hard all the time, and until they do, they're not going to be the team that we thought they were going to be coming into this year. I mean, I don't want to say it's really that simple, but you can't go forward if you're not going forward off a base of playing hard all the time. If you're taking time off, if you're taking quarters off, taking trips regularly up and down the court off, it doesn't matter how much you execute plays, you're just not going to win games. So it really is a basic thing, and people say, well, shouldn't the coach do that? The coach can only do so much. The coach can only motivate as best he can. It's the players when they're on the court. If you watch the Nets game the other night, they've literally played hard every trip. They played every trip up and down the court like it really meant something, as opposed to, let's just get through the first three quarters and see in the fourth quarter who's going to win this game. As we found out, unfortunately, with the Celtics going into the fourth quarter, the deficits are too big to overcome.
Now, Mike, I mentioned this earlier. Kyrie Irving's been very vocal. It seems like he might be rubbing some of the younger players the wrong way. Does this remind you, or could you see similarities between what made Kyrie Irving as a young player frustrated with LeBron James to the way Kyrie Irving's treating these young players?
Well, I talked to Scal about this. I mean, none of us really have played on a level that high. Guys get in fights all the time in practice, getting skirmishes. They trash talk each other. That stuff that happened on the sidelines, that doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I find it a little encouraging because it shows that they care. And that they're intense about this, as opposed to just sitting there and they're not saying anything. So I don't worry about that. The comparisons to LeBron, I think Kyrie's just trying to figure out how he can be a leader on this team. I don't think he's been necessarily a leader before he came here, and I think he was, with Al Horford present, we thought maybe somebody else was going to assume that role. But usually, I've talked about this before. In college, teams take on the personality of their coach. In the pros, teams take on the personality of their best player. And so Kyrie's got to set an example, and he's got to be the guy, and he's trying to be the guy. Has he figured it out yet? No, I don't think so. But he's trying anyway. This is going to be his team because, again, I believe pro teams follow their best player. You look at Golden State, they follow Durant and Curry. Good teams take tonight. Toronto, Kawhi Leonard is as good as it gets in this league, and he's made Toronto a legitimate contender. They're not a fluke here. They're a very, very good basketball team. I forgot how good Leonard was offensively by only seeing him once a year in San Antonio, and then we didn't see him at all last year. Arguably, he's the best defensive player in the league, and he also gets you 25 to 26 points a game. So, This is a real telling game, I think, for the Celtics because, again, is it one game in January? Sure it is. And then guys got to say it's just another game, blah, blah, blah. For the Celtics, it's not just another game. They need to. We're going to find out who they are tonight, and at least at the moment, who they are. coming off those games in Florida and Brooklyn the other night, that might be a scary proposition.
All right, when you say that sometimes this team doesn't play hard every night, who do you think is the most guilty out of the players?
Oh, I think I wouldn't single out a single player. I'll tell you, Marcus Smart plays hard all the time.
I think you can take Marcus Smart and Kyrie.
After that, there's a drop off to everybody else. I mean, if I were the coach of the team, I'd be tempted to make Marcus Smart the captain, because that's the guy that you want to mimic. That's the guy you want to play with the same intensity he plays with. You want to play as hard as he plays. Again, that is the problem for the Celtics right now. You can talk about the little skirmishes that they have with each other and everything else. The bottom line is they need to go out and put four or five games together where they just play it like it's a playoff game, and not like it's something that they're going to flip a switch come playoff time and be good. Because right now they don't even have home court advantage in the first round. So are they going to win a seventh game in Indiana? Are they going to win a seventh game in Milwaukee? Are they going to win a seventh game in Toronto? I would think they would do better to try to win some games now and see if they can move up in the standings. Because you look at the scores from last night. Philly scores 140 points. The teams above them, it's not like there's anybody above them that's playing poorly. Teams above them are playing well. And, you know, you get into the point where you're starting to separate yourself, and five and six games in the loss column becomes very hard to make up. This game takes on a lot of importance tonight, not only in the standings, but how the Celtics play against this team. Because if they don't come out and play hard, they'll get dusted.
All right, Mike. You know, I don't know if you saw the new Jets coach press conference, but he looked like an alien on acid. But so I've been reading a lot of the New York papers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing was a thing flying around?
Yeah. Then someone made a meme of him looking at a mysterious taco that was flying around where his eyes went.
So yeah. I've been devouring the New York papers looking for jokes. And what I've seen is that the Kyrie Irving's frustration has got a lot of the New York media very excited, in that they believe that the more frustrated he gets, the more likely he would be to leave the Celtics. How bad would it have to get for him to do that? And do you think that that's a possibility?
That Kyrie would leave the Celtics?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility? I'm sure it's a possibility, because anything's possible. I think Kyrie did what he did earlier when he stood up and said he wanted to play the Celtics, because he was looking at 82 press conferences after every single game where somebody's going to ask him, are you going to sign with the Celtics? What are your plans? Are you going to sign with the Celtics? I think somebody told Kyrie, look, just go out and say you're going to play the rest of your career in Boston, which you may well end up doing, and that's just going to remove that off the agenda for the next 82 games. So I think all bets are off once the summer comes around. And, how the Celtics finish this year, I think we'll have a lot to determine where Kyrie goes. But, you know, the Celtics' hope and long-term dream is that Anthony Davis and Kyrie both the Celtics next year, and that's the basis of the team going forward.
I just hate that attitude in the NBA now, is that if, like, they don't do well, it's like, well, you're the best player on the team. Like, that's, you know, that's your responsibility. That's not anyone else's responsibility. You know what I'm saying? It used to be people hung around, and then they made the team better. And now it's, you know, cherry-picking situation, so I don't like it. I don't like it!
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
You know? I think that if you're the best, you pay the price to be the boss. Pay the cost to be the boss.
It seems like a crazy analogy, but I think it was Gino Auriemma who said unbelievable success in women's basketball, obviously, at Connecticut, takes his team to, like, a Broadway show before the season starts, and then says to them afterwards, what you just saw, these people do seven nights a week and one afternoon a week. Eight times a week they do it, and they come out and they sing and they dance and they play as hard as they can for 2.5 hours, eight performances a week. And that's what these guys need to see, that other people work hard at their job all the time. The other people don't take time off. And again, that's the if there's one common characteristic I've seen in 38 years of doing this, is that what defines a good team, the very first thing is effort. You know, Eddie Curry, if you remember him, had that famous quote, effort's a funny thing. Some nights it's there, some nights it's not. Effort shouldn't be a funny thing. Effort should be something that's there every night, all the time.
Yeah, our show goes and sees Fiddler on the Roof every January.
Yeah.
In the spirit of things.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen Hamilton, for instance, but, you know, people tell me that those actors work really hard. I mean, they sing, they dance, they're dramatic, they go through a range of emotions.
They bust out fat rhymes about the Constitution and the forging of our country.
Say again?
Yes, that's what Hamilton is. It's like they're doing. Yeah. It's like a hip hop musical. It's not your dad's musical. Like we're out here like spitting it written.
All right, Mike.
All right.
I'm a fiddler on the roof.
Lost there. That was probably me.
I'm a fiddler on the roof. Look at me.
All right. That's exactly how it goes.
He goes, hey, look at me. I'm on the roof. Hey, guys, I'm on the roof, and I got a fiddle.
Spot on.
You know, I'm big. Don't look.
Harvey Firestein, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Mike Gorman, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to talking to you next week.
That deteriorated quickly at the end.
That's on you, my friend. It's always on the guest.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Thank you. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Patrice Bergeron, and this show present Pucks and Paddles, the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. That's Thursday, February 7th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins. Rich and I, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. VIP tickets are $200, and that gives you access to the autograph session. With the team, general admission tickets are $50. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. Now, you're telling me you can now bid?
Yep. I am on the website, and it must have just started because I think it just started this morning because the totals are very low. You can right now get in on the ground floor. Patrice Bergeron currently at $350. Pasternak's also at $350, Marchand $325, and it goes down and down and down. And then there's some players that don't even have bids yet. Yeah, this must have just gone live.
What is it? What is the website again?
You can go to, what is it, pucksandpaddles.org? Is that what you said? What's the website?
I said 985thesportshub.com.
Yeah, go there, and then there's a link that brought me to this. So that's where I would go. And as of right now, the members of the Sports Hub have not been bid on yet.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
You can see our squeaky new headshots that we just had taken.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're great.
And the respect level through the roof for me, seeing that my last name is misspelled.
That often happens.
It's true. Which is just awesome. It's
every like time.
13 years you work at a place.
Yeah. They have an H for my first name. They always do that.
Yes. Oh, and your name is misspelled as well.
Perfect.
So, J-O-H-N-Y.
Good.
But then again, that's because you misspell your name anyway.
I see. So. I left the H out, so I'm wrong.
Certainly, everyone knows it's spelled with an E, not an I.
Of course.
I'm enjoying my Hitler haircut that is going on in that photo.
I don't remember your headshot looking like having that.
No.
It's almost like someone photoshopped it onto your head just to screw with you. Your hair's never looked like that, ever.
I should probably have gotten a haircut before I did that.
Honestly, I'm looking at your headshot right now.
No, it looks like I'm Hitler. Like that's the haircut that Hitler. I'm seeing it right now.
First of all,
it looks like I have a comb over. And second of all, if it's not a comb over, it looks like a Hitler haircut.
Okay, this is weird because, Fred, in all the years I've known you, in the 17 or so years that I've known you, I've never seen your hair look like that. And I don't even remember it looking like that when we did the photo shoots. So that is strange. That almost seems like someone's just playing a joke on you right now.
Well, it's every picture of me seems like a joke.
It's a minimum bid of $300 to play with us.
That's right. So $300 will get you in to the end. And I believe when you play with us, you also get into the VIP session where players.
And, yeah, you get the whole nah.
And you know, when you play the players, you're right there. I mean, it's a very cool thing.
It's an inexpensive way to get access to the players.
Yeah, right, bidding on us. It's right. If you truly want to get in on this, just bid on one of us, you know?
Zolak's up there. Bertrand's up there. I'm a little shocked to see Zolak on there. I was getting the impression that he wasn't going to go.
Yeah, I'm glad he's doing it.
Maybe he didn't even know he's doing it.
Let's just hope he doesn't throw it so he's done at the beginning, you know?
Well, he promised he would do that last year. Said, we're going to have some fun.
And they just
you're going to get your money's worth playing with me.
Okay, well, I hope so.
Yeah, he said he was going to hang out with everybody.
Yep.
Why did they do photo shoots?
I just find it so weird. I've honestly never seen you with that hair before.
Because that's as good as my face is going to look. So no, I'm not complaining.
The face looks good. It looks good.
I'm not complaining about that.
Listen, we've all seen pictures of ourselves that look like we look like sacks of crap.
Well, listen, but look no further than any photo that's ever been posted online about me and see what the reaction is. Like, there's photos that I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. And they're like, oh, you're going to die.
Just be glad you have, like, a full beard. Like, so people know that you weren't, like, going for a look.
Billy Jaffe is here.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the photo.
No, it's not
his
a
first
good
reaction was, Jesus.
Yeah. Jaffe, go away. Come on.
I don't know.
But admit you've never seen Fred's hair like that ever before.
Gestapo. It's not good.
No,
it looks like
was that a Stephanie? She wouldn't make you get a haircut like that, would you?
It's not a haircut. Like I don't like
your hair just seems to be lying together to the side.
I think what happened is that I had like a loose hair, and then they made me
the old
me
little kid thing.
Yeah, and
like
then I was
put it down.
And at that point, I just wanted to go home.
I don't blame you.
And so, because it was taking an awful long time.
I remember that part of it, yes.
Wow.
Well, and then you pay the price for the next 10 years.
Then they put it on billboards.
Yeah, oh, God. That's all I need. The last pictures of us I liked. Rich looks fine. Walk, what are you going to do?
Got a nice big smile working.
Should we get some people to Photoshop some super cool hats on your head?
Yeah.
Don't you guys get new ones with your new deal?
These are new ones. We just took these.
Months ago.
No. Like 2 months ago, right?
I don't know.
But whatever. But they were.
It was in October. It was at the beginning of the Bruins season because that was the day they had the game in Czechoslovakia. And they had the game in the morning.
That's right.
And they weren't taking our photos.
That's right. They weren't taking our photos because you had someplace you had to be. I remember that. And you were like, come on, hurry up.
Can't you be like a mom at school picture day and ask for a redo?
Then they got to bring the guy out here and it's a whole situation.
Or there's other headshots. Like they took like 10 or 20 of us.
Well, whatever they want to do. It is what it is. But anyway, you can go over there to 98.5 The Sports Hub and get right there. There's a link. It's pretty easy to get to. And, you know, everyone's going to be like, John Moore.
Yep.
Yeah, there's always one or two Bruins that people
are like, Wagner. So get in early on those guys.
Yeah.
And you might be all right.
I'm actually here this year for it.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Just found that out yesterday.
So can people bid on you?
Mike said yes, but I don't think I'm up there yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just got my NHL Network schedule, so
okay.
I'm here.
All right.
Looking forward to playing.
No bids on Tuukka Rask right now. Have the tides turned?
Yes.
Just kidding. There's no bids on like half the people. Yeah. I know that you can make some controversy out of that.
No, there's no bid. Oh, yeah. Sean Corrali with a bid.
There's always like a random guy that gets $1 million like put towards him. Like, just like, whoa, who's a huge fan of that? And if they are, I'd probably want to do a background check.
Yeah. I think that the haircut's going to turn off a lot of people. They're going to get they're going to misconstrue my political ideology. All right. So Billy Jaffe's in studio, 617-779-0985. We'll talk some Bruins and so much more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.